Be back in the book of Proverbs. And chapter 1. Tonight we'll talk about the wisdom of counsel. The wisdom of counsel. Of course, this has been sprinkled in throughout a little bit here and there, but we're going to talk just about counsel tonight. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. So verse 2 is going to start telling us why he wrote this to his son. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The wise man will hear and increase learning. And the man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the counsel of the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. Let's pray. Lord, give us wisdom to think and to see and to clarify things in our minds. And Lord, we need wisdom. Wisdom is the principal thing. And I pray you give us that wisdom. Help us to see our need, to see how to do that, and gain your wisdom about counsel. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Counsel is mentioned almost 200 times in the Bible. It's a lot of times, probably under-talked about, underrated, under-known about how much the Bible talks about counsel, both good and bad. And it's very, very, very common in the Bible that the counseling is. The word counsel is just advice. That's what the word means in the Bible. And so advice is what it means. I could define it for you when the Bible talks about counsel. It's using somebody else's wisdom or knowledge. It's using somebody else's wisdom or knowledge. It's that simple. It's going out and grabbing somebody else's knowledge and saying, I'm gonna use your knowledge. And using their knowledge so you don't have to know everything. If I was going to buy a Ford diesel, and I was looking for one, I've only owned a 7.3 liter diesel, which is what we have in the shuttle, but I've never owned the 6 liter diesel, but everybody says the 6 liter diesel is no good. Get the 7.3. I don't have to go and get the 6 liter and drive it around and have it not work for me to say, that's not a good engine. Now, a lot of people live that way. They do not gain wisdom from other people or other experiences. They just, everything is bumbling into mistakes. And they say, look, that's not what you should do. That is not a good way to live. You don't want to be the person who says, hey, there's a drop off there. And if you step too far, you fall off the cliff. Watch other people do it and then don't do it. And that is the wise way to do it. Counsel goes to somebody instead of just watching and says, I need your knowledge on something. I'm going to borrow it. Can I use your knowledge? Can you give me knowledge? And using their knowledge, and then you have now their knowledge added to your knowledge in your head. And that's what counsel does. You're supposed to do it. Verse 5 says, a wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. Shall attain unto wise counsels. This is very important. So first point I have is why get counsel? Why get counsel? Number one, it is safe. Counsel gives you safety. Proverbs 15. Counsel gives you safety. Proverbs 15 and verse 22. Without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It is safe, and it makes you do things the right way. It's safety there. Proverbs 24 and verse 6. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. You're going to see that phrase a bunch of more times, Proverbs 11, 4, and others. It'll say, in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Safety. It is safe to seek counsel. It is safe to get counsel in your life. It's a safe thing to do. See, there's just a lot of things you don't know anything about. And if you think you know everything about everything, you don't. Nobody does. You might be an... Listen, you can be an expert in certain areas of finances and be ignorant of other areas of finances. You can be a genius in one area of computers and be incompetent in another area of computers. Our computer people are shaking their head. It's very true. It's you just go to a computer expert and say, hey, can you fix this? They'll say, I don't know that program. And you're going, but you know computers. You do computers all day. And they look at you and say, I don't know that program. And if you don't know it, then you don't know it. A doctor can have a specialty in one area, and this doctor might be an OBGYN, and you ask them about your cancer, and they might say, I'm not going to tell you anything. I don't know. Nobody's an expert in everything. And so counseling is very safe. I tell people now, I've just seen it so many times, and most people don't know this, they experience it. You know to get second opinions medically, I hope. If you don't, get second opinions. If you know how many people have had surgery, had things pulled, and it didn't solve the problem. I had my leg crushed at work, and the orthopedic doctor said, you know what? There's nothing really wrong with your leg measurable. I went to another one, and he said, okay. And I went to that guy for 5 months. Went to the next guy. He said, take your shoes off, stand there. And he looks at me and says, your arch is flat on that foot. 5 seconds. And I said, really? He said, yeah, your foot got crushed, and your arch is, you don't have an arch in that foot. You have a big arch in your other foot. So, that's why it hurts so bad, I guess. It gives you a safety when you do it. It gives you a safety net. Because there are sometimes things you're ignorant about. Sometimes something seems so logical. How many of you think, in general, and this isn't a trick question, in general, you got a pretty good head in your shoulders, and you're not a dope in general. You got a pretty good head in your shoulders. You're not dumb. Okay. There's nothing wrong with it, but I hope. Okay, I feel like I got a pretty good head on my shoulders. And a lot of people do, but they're blindsided because they don't know an area. Let's take a family. Let's say, here's this guy. This guy's competent, has a good job, good husband, good dad, nice guy. Does pretty good in life, good at his finances, pretty successful. All of a sudden, his teenage daughter starts gaining a bunch of weight. And boy, she's getting a lot bigger. Now, this guy, he's a man, he's blunt, and you know what? He's always said in life, you know, if I'm doing something wrong or something needs fixed, just come tell me. So he says, you know what, I'm going to go to daughter, I'm going to walk up to her and say, you know what, you've gotten really fat. You're totally unattractive. You need to fix it. You're getting fat. To him, that makes perfect sense. To him, that's what you do. And the mom goes, ah. But he might walk over and say, now, honey, she's gaining weight, and she's gotten way too big, and I don't know why she's gaining weight, but you know what? I'm going to go tell her. I think I should go tell her you're fat and you need to lose weight, honey. You're unattractive now. Just to see if maybe there's some safety there to say, you know what? That's not such a good idea. And men are going, that's a good idea. That's what you just tell people. And the girls are going, no man is that dumb, right? Okay, because the multitude of counselors are safety. And the mom says, honey, I wouldn't say it that way. She'll probably be so insecure for the next 6 years that she'll never walk. She'll be making herself throw up after every meal and never talk to you again and go and trying to find some men. And she's going to be a disaster mentally. Honey, how can you? By the way, don't think people are stupid because they do not understand everything. Men don't understand women. And women don't understand men. That's okay. That's why you maybe ask for advice on something. But let's say the mom goes, you know what? Let me talk to her about this. But let's say the mom's been slim her whole life and never gained weight. And she's always never struggled and she doesn't gain the weight. And she says, I don't know how to lose weight. So she goes and calls her friend, Susie, and says, Susie, you've lost 75 pounds. Can you tell me how you did that? You see how people seeking counsel would all of a sudden start getting, he would not devastate his daughter's emotion because he sought his wife's counsel, which a man should do. She, because she didn't know how to lose weight, sought somebody else's counsel. I mean, yeah, she can say, people who don't have wisdom, a lot of times good-intended people, they can't advise people because they've never struggled or they just assume it's easy. A person who is a hard worker, been a hard worker the whole life, and somebody comes to them and says, I'm just struggling to get up in the morning. They say, get up. Just get up. And they say, well, I understand that. Now, how do you do that? What do you mean? You set the alarm clock, alarm clock's up, get up. Because they don't know how to explain it to them. And they don't know how to do that. And a person who's very honest sometimes can't help somebody who's dishonest. I remember listening to a pastor one time. He said somebody came to me one time and said, how do I quit lying? He says, tell the truth all the time. I mean, and the person says, well, I get that, but how do I do that? I always want to lie. And so you get that counseling and you gather the information and you now borrow somebody else's knowledge you might not have and say, this is what you should do, or this is what I should do because I'm not an expert in that area. We're looking for a church van. Now, I have, to supplement my income, bought and sold cars. And I was buying them fairly regularly and selling them fairly regularly. I'm pretty familiar with cars. I took a year and a half mechanics classes, and I'm pretty good with cars and know them pretty well. However, I've talked to a guy who buys and sells buses for churches and vans. Talked to another guy who sells cars for a living, and I talked to another person who is in the car business. And just why? Because I wanted to just get some advice. What's going on in the market? How do you do this? How do you choose this? How do you find this out? Why? I'm borrowing their knowledge. It's free. But if you're insecure and arrogant, you say, I already know what I'm doing. I don't need to talk to anybody. Then you're not wise. Because you want to gain as much knowledge as you can. Let me illustrate this. Let's pretend we're going to figure out if, let's say, let's figure out. We're going to figure out if you want to buy a Costco card. Okay, come up here. Ron, come on up here. You're my sermon illustration tonight. Okay, Ron, you haven't owned a Costco card?
No.
All right. So, Ron and I are going to try to figure this out. And Ron, do you have one now? No. You guys have one? Okay, good. So
many years I don't remember.
Okay, so he got a glossy brochure that says Costco is the place. That's enough. It said it was. Now go buy the card. I don't think that's the wise thing to do. So, all right. Ron comes to me and says, do you have a Costco card? Ask me.
Do you have a Costco card?
I do. Now you're going to ask me. Yeah, there you go. And now you ask me, you're going to ask me, do you think I should get one?
Should I get one?
Well, let me, you know what? You know, I just got mine, so I'm not sure. You know what? I know some of the people have a Costco card. How many in here got a Costco card? Raise your hand. All right. Let's see. Let's go back here. Ron, stay here. So, Ron goes over and we ask Charlie. Charlie, is it worth getting a Costco card?
Oh, yes.
It's good. It's good. All right. Who else has a Costco card? Oh, Dave. What do you think? Is it good to get a Costco card?
It depends upon what you're going to use it for.
Oh. What are you going to use it for? Not buying alcohol. Getting gas.
House supplies.
And house supplies, all right? And big bag of M&Ms. Okay. If you're just going to go and buy stuff for a husband and a wife, is it worth it?
No.
No. Okay. Do you see? Okay, you can be seated, Ron. He didn't just go spend, what is it, $35 or $50 for a Costco card. Costco cards are for people who buy a lot of stuff. Okay?
It's up to $100.
And so, hey, guess what? If you buy a lot of gas, good to have a Costco card. They got cheap gas. You buy big servings. But if you're a single guy and you buy a gigantic, you know, container of sour cream, it's going to be green and fuzzy before you finish it. Okay? And penicillin's good, but not in your sour cream. And so... So you go, and he borrows their knowledge and talks to different people and says, is it worth it? Now, you get, but if all of a sudden we go and Charlie says, oh, I bought that card, and it was terrible. And Dave says, no, it's not really. You know what? It's not that good. Sam's Club is way better. If they say that, then do I have to go buy a Costco card and waste $100? No. I just go to several people and ask them about it. That's all it is. It's going to somebody else who already has the wisdom, who's already been there, and seeing if that is wise. That's what counsel is. And so smart people are always talking to people. They're always, what do you think about that? Is that a good deal? Is that worth it? Did you do that? Would you buy that? And so what they're doing is they get counsel before they do thing because they don't, you don't know everything ahead of time. And so you do that. Number one, it's safe. Number two, it keeps you from falling. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So we see that safety there, and it keeps you from falling. Number three, so you can finish what you're trying to do. Proverbs 15. We said, you why counsel? Because it is safe. It keeps you from falling, so you finish what you're trying to do. Proverbs 15. And verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. It lets you finish. You're established, and they're disappointed if you do that. Next, you get counsel for big decisions. Proverbs 24. And verse 6, for by wise counsel shalt thou make thy war, and in the multitude of counselors there is safety. That in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. And by wise counsel, you make your war. For big decisions, you see that. Also, it makes you happier. Proverbs chapter 27. Why get counsel? Because it makes you happier in the end. Verse 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So do the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. So does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And so it makes you happier. So somebody comes and they're sitting there and they go out and they say, I'm going to start a business. Sounds like great. I know a guy who started their business, made a lot of money, and he got to choose his own schedule and life was easy for him. Okay. Now, have you ever started a business? No. Okay. Did you talk to that guy about how he started the business? Well, no. I mean, but I like to own a business. I like to be able to let the employees work and I just stay at home and kick back. That'd be great. That's Robbie. And yeah, that's not true. And you say, that's what I like to do. Then he wanders on down, says, Robbie, you own a business. Is it you just gonna kick back at home and just watch them work?
No.
Okay. You know, I'm thinking about starting this business, and you know, I'm broke, so I better start a business. Dave, when you start a business, does it take any money to start a business?
A lot of money and a lot of time.
A lot of money and a lot of time. Really? Did you know when you start a business, you better have some income while the business starts? And it costs a lot of money to get it started until you get customers. So you go and you talk to people who own a business, and all of a sudden you say, I don't want to work that many hours. I don't want to put my own money into it. I don't want to do that. I don't want to risk my, you know, what if somebody slips and falls in my business? I don't want to insurance. Licensing and bonding, Well, then don't. And you might not be a business owner type. It's a certain type. And you might want to. And some people say, that sounds great to me. I don't want to have somebody tell me what to do. I know how to do. I want to do it. I'm going to do it my way. I've already got the customers waiting for me. You know what? I'll go to the office work and this and that, and I can set aside my taxes, and I will do that stuff. And that sounds great to me. But know what you're doing. Because people who don't get counsel, they bumble into everything and learn everything the hard way, and they're not happy in the end. Where those who seek counsel are happier in the end. Next, it is where all good decisions start. Proverbs chapter 20. It is where all good decisions start. Let me see here. Proverbs 20 and verse 18. Every purpose is established by counsel. And with good advice, make war. Every purpose is established by counsel. So, while I'm sitting here talking tonight, some of you probably said, really? I didn't realize Costco was just for people who buy a lot of stuff. Okay? Nothing wrong with that. I knew that before I asked that question. I knew about starting a business before I said, by the way, I started a business and didn't have enough capital to start it with. Okay? It wasn't fun. Made $7,000 that year. And that's not good when you're married, $7,000 a year. And I know this stuff. Why? Because I've watched now, one, gain wisdom by watching, and two, by talking to people. And people come to me with their problems, and I mark their problems in my mind. this is frustrating, this is hard, this is good, this is bad. And then you gain that wisdom. So in other words, you get that stuff and you gain that knowledge and you let that knowledge be gained from. And if you learned about starting a business just now, you know what? You're better off now. You just gained some counseling if you start it. Foolish people say, that's not me, I'll be different. That's what they always say. But wise people say, I'm going to store that here and bring that back up. There's a lot of things in my mind that I haven't dealt with yet. I have not dealt with yet. But it's stored there when I get there. And so we got that. Number one, why do you get counsel? Because it's safe. It keeps you from falling. So you finish what you're trying to do. It's for big decisions. It'll make you happier. And it is a good starting point for all decisions. Next, where do you get counsel from? Where do you get counsel from? Number one, from the Lord. Isaiah 9:6 it says about the Savior coming. The government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. The Lord should be your number one counselor. Ask him for wisdom. By the way, that word counselor is the same word used in Proverbs and everywhere else for counsel. So when you get advice from, he's the counselor. If any among you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth to all men liberally. Number two, where do we get wisdom from, or where do we get counsel from, is from the Lord and also from the Bible. Psalm 119. Psalm 119 and verse 24. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. It's real simple. The Bible gives you advice, and it's the highest advice. Nothing comes above it. Once the Bible says something, you never need to seek counsel on that subject again. Amen. Should I date an unsaved person? No. The Bible just advises you against it. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath light with darkness? What fellowship has a believer with an unbeliever? 2 Corinthians 6. No. Well, how do I make that decision? It's made. You got your counseling. Your counseling session said, no. Should I steal? No. Thou shall not steal. There's no counsel against the Lord, the Bible says. Let God be true and every man a liar. If you know the Bible pretty well, you get a lot of the questions already answered because the Bible already tells you what to do. And you don't need to question it when the Bible says it. Just do what it says. Makes sense? Like it? Don't like it? Doesn't matter. Get it from the Bible. Once the Bible says it, you don't need more counseling once it's clear. Number three, from wisdom's lessons. Go back to Proverbs. How do you get counsel? Where do you get counsel from? From the Lord, from the Bible, and from wisdom's lesson. Proverbs chapter 1. Wisdom talking. Verse 20, wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. Verse 24, because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded, but ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Verse 30, but they would none of my counsel, they despised my reproof. Wisdom gives us advice in life. Should I go and buy a Yugo. Okay, the Bible doesn't say, but wisdom says that's a junky car falls apart. Should I go and invest money I don't have? Should I borrow money to invest it? No, that's foolish. Our economy collapsed in 2008 because of that. Okay. There are certain things that life shows you. There's certain things experience shows you. And wisdom screams it out at you, and then wisdom says, you need to listen to what I tell you. That's wisdom. Once wisdom says something's wise, should I save my money? Yes, wisdom says to. So, there are many things I don't get counsel on because wisdom's already told me, and there's some things I don't get counsel on because the Bible's already told me. I don't need counsel. The Bible says, thus saith the Lord. Okay, ready? I've never asked anybody's advice of whether I should take meth. I don't seek counsel on that. I've seen what it does. I don't need counsel on it. Okay? There's a lot of things that wisdom says this is foolish. You don't need to call. I have a question here. A policeman's lights are on and he's behind me and he's pulling me over. Should I pull over? No. You don't. No, don't pull over. No, you don't need the advice. Pull over. Okay? Wisdom says a whole bunch of things. Wisdom, it's obvious. We call it common sense. We call it, we've seen somebody else do that and it didn't work well. Look, five people walked over there on that trail and the trail collapsed. They fell off the cliff and died. I think I won't walk on that trail. You don't need to call anybody. You don't need to go and seek counsel. Don't need to call your mom and dad or your pastor. Common sense, wisdom screams, don't do that. And wisdom gives you those lessons, and women does that. And so you see that. Where do you get counsel? You get it from the Lord, from the Bible, and from wisdom's lessons, and the next from many sources. In Proverbs chapter 11, and we've read this many times, we'll read it again. In verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Now, we'll talk about this a little bit later, but get a lot of advice. So, because I might go and say, do you think it's worth it to go, we're talking about Costco, fictionally here, and I go down and I talk to Robbie, but Robbie had a terrible experience at Costco. And it just, he bought the wrong product, it didn't work out, he tried to take it back, he lost the receipt, they wouldn't let him do it, and he hates that company, and so Robbie says, Costco's terrible, don't go there. If that's the only person I talk to, I'm not going to get a good picture of it. I had a guy who owned the same kind of car I do in Bible college, and it was a Ford Taurus, and he bought that car. One day he picks me up on Sunday morning, early in the morning, to go to the bus place to get the bus, and he puts his car in gear and nothing happens. And he revs the engine, and all of a sudden, clunk, it goes into gear. I said, Mike, you're out of transmission fluid. He says, I know, I'm out of transmission fluid. He says, I just haven't had time to stop. I said, you're going to fry your transmission. We need to go, I'll pay for it. Let's go to the gas station. He says, no, I don't got time. It'll be fine. I said, oh, great. He says, I'll get some. Okay. And so that's foolish. Those aren't cheap to replace. And I thought, okay, I'll get transmission fluid. You know, I don't know why he's doing that. Next Sunday morning, he picks me up, puts it in gear. Vroom! And when you're low on transmission fluid, you got to get the fluid really going. So you have to rev the engine. All of a sudden, vroom, vroom, clunk, goes into gear. I said, Mike, you haven't bought transmission fluid this week? And he said, nah, man, I've been kind of broke. I said, let's go to the gas station right now. I'll buy the transmission fluid. I'll get it this week. I don't got time this morning. I don't want to go. So he drove all the way to the bus center with no transmission fluid in that thing. And guess what happened to him? His transmission fried. I talked to that guy. I bought a Taurus after that. And he told me, and by the way, their transmissions aren't that good. But he talked to me. This is my supercar that wouldn't die. And he says, those things, you shouldn't have bought that car. Those are the worst transmissions in the world. So he told me. I drove that car. That's the car that I never did a major repair for 325,000 miles. And he called me several years. I was at a Bible college. He said, whatever happened to that Taurus you had? I said, I'm still driving it. He says, no way. Those things had the worst transmissions in the world. I had a transmission in the last 2 months. So he talked to him. Guess what advice you're going to get? That's how you wouldn't just talk to him. But let's say he talked to 10 people and 3 of them had transmission problems. Now you're getting a picture. So I walk out and I say, I'm going to buy a paint sprayer. And I go by and I say, Ron, they've got a cheap paint sprayer. It's Acme brand, and it's $19.95 for this paint sprayer. Should I buy it?
Good luck.
Good luck. But I go to Robbie, and Robbie, he bought the same paint sprayer, and he's only used it twice, and Robbie pampers everything and takes good care of it and is really gentle on it. And how's that? And he says, it works fine for me.
It's working fine.
Now I'm kind of confused. I read the label, and the label said it's high quality. But now I'm going to go down to Sherwin-Williams paint store. I'm going to go to guy. You know what's funny? You know employees don't get paid commission a lot of times now. Do you know if you walk up to the guy at Home Depot and says, is this paint sprayer any good? You know what they'll a lot of times they'll tell you the truth. I wouldn't buy that thing, man. It's a piece of junk. They'll tell you that stuff a lot of times. But I would get a bunch of people's advice and talk to them. And I might find out, you know, I'm only going to use the thing twice ever. Now, professional painter, it won't work. It'll die in 3 jobs. But for me who paints once a year, it might work for me. I've got to talk to people and seek advice and try to do that. And you say, would you do that for $19.95? You don't know how cheap I am. And I would get the warranty and then I'd take it back 4 times after I destroyed it. You go and you get many counselors. Now I'm gonna caveat that later, but for now, many counselors is good. You get a lot of opinions, you get a lot of advice on that, because one person might have just had a bad experience. but many people will be able to get some good ideas. Next, where do you not get counsel from? That's very important. Oh, I've seen people get counseling from the dumbest sources. Oh, my soul. Where do you not get counsel from? Let's go to Psalms. Well, let me just quote it to you. Psalm 1:1. First of all, the ungodly. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't go to ungodly counsel. Proverbs chapter 12, if you're there, we can read verse 5. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceit. Don't go to ungodly people. We'll caveat that too in a minute. Number two, your peers. This one here, we deal with a lot. You don't get counsel from your peers. My mind's really logical, and so it seems so logical to me, but let me tell you, this isn't followed. Proverbs chapter, or 2 Chronicles chapter 10, verse 6. This is Rehoboam getting counsel, and he talks to some old men. He talks to some people his age. Verse 6 says, King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them and speak good words to them, then they shall be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him that stood before him. And he said unto them, what advice give ye to the return of these people? And they said, man, tell them it's going to be terrible, and you're going to make it worse and take more from them. You're going to whip them with scorpions, said they tell them. Thy father made thy yoke heavy, but I will make it worse. Verse 11, for as my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I'll put more to your yoke. And my father chastised you with whips, but I will chastise you with scorpion. Verse 13, the king answered them roughly, and King Rehoboam forsook the counsel of the old men, and said, I'm going to make your yoke heavy. What's the result of this? Verse 16. And when all Israel saw that the king would not hearken to them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? We have none inheritance, the son of Jesse, every man to your tents. And now, O Israel, and now David, see to thine own house. And all Israel went to their tents. In verse 19, and all Israel rebelled against the house of David that day. He sought counsel of people who were just like him. The logic is, if they're your peers, they know what you know. Most teenagers get advice about life from teenagers. Why? Because they understand me. That's because they know as much as you know. And all the old people say the same things. That's right. Because they're older, and someday you'll be one of those old people saying the same things and say how stupid you were. Because, listen, here I am, I bought my paint sprayer and the stupid thing doesn't work. Say, Robbie, you told me to buy this thing and it's a piece of junk. How do I get it to work? And he says, I don't know, mine's never worked, that's why it's never broke. So I'll go to Ron and I'll say, Ron, you know how to do paint sprayers, you're a painter. Can you help me with this thing? And he says, you're supposed to have an air compressor. I said, oh. I didn't know that. I thought it blew into the end. And so you go and you talk to somebody who knows more than you. I get counsel all the time. I talk to older pastors mostly. A couple of evangelists thrown in there. Why? Because I'm usually dealing with pastoral things. I got in a situation one time, and years ago, and I just did everything I thought I should do. I got in a situation where I didn't know what to do. I don't know what to do with this thing. So I called a wiser, older pastor, been in the ministry a lot longer than me, and I said, hey, I got this situation. You got some time? Yeah, let me tell you. Here's this person did this. I did this, and then this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this, and this. I told him this, and we tried this, and now I don't know what to do. I said, if any of my advice was bad, I'm very secure. Go ahead and tell me that was a stupid thing to say, because I don't know what to do here, and nothing's working. And he said to me, he said, I want to say your advice was fantastic, and I would do absolutely nothing because there's nothing you can do. I felt a lot better. That's what I felt. But now I had someone who's ahead of me who knows more than me saying the same thing. Okay, you'd find someone who is more of an expert than you. You find someone who knows more than you. Do not seek counsel of your peers. Your peers usually know what you do. But and how many times and it sounds stupid. You're going to think I'm lying. I'm not lying about this. I have had people who are seriously suffering with major suicidal depression and told me, you know what? I don't think you understand my problem. I've got some friends who are depressed like I am, and I'm talking to them. They say different things than you, and they know what it's like. Let me help you. You want to talk to depressed people who can't get out of depression to figure out how to get out of your depression, right? Drug addicts do the same thing. Drug addicts have this mentality that only drug addicts can help them. They're drug addicts! How can they help you when they're drug addicts? It's like you saying, yeah, you're drowning too. Here, tell me how to swim. They're drowning too. Find the guy who knows how to swim and ask him how to stay above the water. You don't seek counsel of people who are failing in their lives. And people who are terrible with their kids will tell you how to raise your kids. You know what? They have a bratty kid just like me. I'm going to talk to them and see what to do. That's why their kids are bratty. Why are you going to them? This makes so little sense to me. You don't seek counsel of your peers. You find someone who is doing better than you. Someone who knows more than you. That's why God invented these wonderful things called parents. Because logic tells me parents once were where you are. They must be older than you in most cases. Are you guys awake tonight? I gotta get some counsel on my humor. And so you go and you seek counsel of someone who knows more than you, someone who's succeeding in this thing, and all those things. You talk to someone who knows more than you. That's why they call your lawyer counsel. They're supposed to be giving you advice on what to do legally. That always works. They're not always for you. They're not always godly either. Matter of fact, I don't know if any lawyers are. Just kidding. There's some godly lawyers. And sometimes, because they know more than you, you just trust them. And that's a very hard thing for people to do. Let me give you an example. The wisest pastors and the wisest counselors I know, they say, I never give advice on already done actions. If somebody's already done the action, they come to me and said, I did this, what do you think? They will never give advice on that. All of them say that. So, guess what? I don't do it. You come to me and say, Pastor, I went and married this girl. What do you think? Was it a good decision? Doesn't matter now. Now, I don't always understand why that's a good rule, but it's so consistently told by wise people, I do that. I do the same thing. Why? Because they know more than me. Usually later on, I find out why they do that. There's a lot of things that I do that just wise people do that, and I don't understand why they do it necessarily, but I find a consistency of wise people who aren't my peers doing something. I will usually do that even if I don't understand the why. That's because I believe in counsel, and we do that. Just last thoughts. We'll finish up. Number one, if asked and you don't know, if you are asked counsel or advice and you don't know, tell them you don't know. It's very important. There are things that I don't know about. If you say, how do I maintenance my yacht? I sold mine 5 years ago. I have no idea. But there are things, if you don't know, say, you know what? I don't know, but I know somebody who does. And find somebody who does. Don't just wing it with advice. What stock should I buy? Should I buy Microsoft, Intel, or Boeing, or should I buy a mutual fund? You say, I don't know. Don't say, Microsoft. When you don't know. Don't give advice when you don't know. Just tell them, I don't know anything about that. Okay? And that's wise. Number two, asking an authority can be more binding than just asking somebody else. I want you to get that. Very important. We said in the multitude of counselors are a safety, but God has put in certain people in our lives who are authorities. And in those cases, when you're going to them and they give you a definite answer, you have a more binding counsel than just asking us, people, should I buy this car? I don't think when you have an authority involved, you should have a multitude of counselors. And you see that in the Bible very commonly. For it says you're supposed to have wise counselors. And you see that very commonly. They would, when a prophet of God came and he said, do this, you did it. Okay? And he didn't. And so, for example, a kid goes to a parent and says, Dad, do you think I should go to college? And Dad says, absolutely. I don't think you need to keep getting counsel. I think you do with the authority. Why? Because God placed that authority and the powers that be are ordained of God. And I believe you get an umbrella over you. Well, God will protect you because he put that authority there. Ask Sarah when she did what her husband said. I think when you have an authority, I don't think you go to a bunch of different authorities. I think if there are binding authority in your life. Now, they might say, my advice is, but whatever you decide, or maybe you should go talk to somebody, that's fine. But there are certain authorities that you should let guide you, and they're biblical authorities and ones God puts in your life, and those are more powerful. And there's a covering with that. Number three, advice is free. Ask for it often. Next, big decisions, you got to get wise counsel. Proverbs 24. So I'm driving down the road, and I'm going to go, trying to go elk hunting, and I want to find a place to go elk hunting. And so, Robbie, you still haven't told me where I'm supposed to go elk hunting. I've been seeking his counsel. He hasn't got it for me yet. And I want to go elk hunting. And I have a very godly dad that I like to call and get advice from. My dad's in Virginia. And I go up and I say, is this the road I should go up? I don't know if this, I can call my dad, but I don't need to get his advice on which road to take in the mountains. But I might find some old guy sitting there in his four-wheel drive truck who lives up in the mountains, and he might be chewing tobacco and half drunk, but I might get his advice on which road to take. Okay, I get that guy's advice because that's fine because he knows the roads, but I'm not going to get his advice on who to marry because he's not godly. And so on minor decisions, you might have a unsaved counselor in your curriculum at college. You're going to a technical school, and you might say, how many credits do I need and which class should I take? And they might know that area of expertise, but not in where should I go to church? Not in how should I discipline my child? Not in why important decisions in your life. You need godly counsel there. Proverbs 24 and verse 6, for by wise counsel shall thou make thy war, and in a multitude of counselors there is safety. In this verse, he's talking to a boy who's going to be king someday. And he says, you're going to have to decide how to make war. You're going to be the authority up here. You need many people to ask their advice because you're deciding. It's not talking about an authority above him because he's the one who makes a decision in war, so he should have many things. But you better get wise counsel before you make war. That's a big decision. And you might just decide to go to war because you're angry or because that guy on the other country snubbed you and you're going to show him. And your counselors may say, you know, I don't think that's a good idea right now. So big decisions, wise counsel. Make sure you seek that wise counsel. These are all the biblical principles in here, and God has a lot to say about it. And again, we could read a lot of other verses, but be very careful. And make sure you're a person who gets advice and listens and pays attention. Two ears, one mouth. There's a reason for that. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the word, and thank you for all it teaches us about counseling. Help us, Lord, to be wise in our counsel and listen to the authorities you put in our life, Father, and give us wisdom to listen to wisdom and to your word and to ask you. But help us not to go blundering through life, not knowing and keep on making foolish decisions, but seek counsel, seek advice a lot, and find the safety therein, and especially with you and your word and wisdom. Please, Lord, help us to do so. In Jesus' name, heads bowed, eyes closed.